Hello, welcome to the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. Today's topic, the weight loss power of social nutrition. Eat with others, weigh less. I'm Deborah Keston, nutrition researcher and host of the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. And I'm on a mission to give you the science-backed weight loss wisdom you need to eat less and weigh less without dieting. In each episode, I'll translate cutting-edge weight loss research into actions you can take that can make a real difference in your weight and well-being. Let's get started. Today, we're doing a deep dive into this pioneering finding. What I call the solo dining overeating style that behavioral scientist Larry Sherwitz and I discovered will cover the influence of solo dining on your weight and well-being and how the opposite of solo dining, eating with others more often than not, can up your odds of eating less and weighing less without dieting. What exactly is the new normal solo dining overeating style? You tell me, do you see yourself in any of these scenarios? Eating meals and snacks alone at your desk while working, grabbing, say, a pepperoni pizza on your way home, then eating it by yourself while watching TV, or perhaps filling up on some fast food favorite while you drive to your next appointment. The solo dining overeating style Larry and I identified is an interconnected family of eating behaviors that include whether a person does or doesn't eat mostly one with family members, two with friends, three at home at the dining table, or number four alone, which has become more typical for most of us, especially with the work-at-home lifestyle that COVID launched. Larry and I discovered the solo dining overeating style when we did research with 5,256 people who filled out our 80-item What's Your Overeating Style questionnaire before and after they completed my six-week 18-lesson online e-course on whole-person integrative eating. When we looked closely at the results, not only did we discover the new normal overeating style of solo dining, meaning eating alone more often than not, and that what I call social nutrition is a viable element of nutritional health, we also discovered that solo dining is one of the seven new normal overeating behaviors that are linked with overeating and being obese. Being overweight or obese. A brief aside, if you want to know more about the overeating styles, please visit HealingSecretsPodcast.com and listen to episode 3 to continue. Here's what I mean when I say we are a solo dining culture. At the start of a presentation or workshop, I sometimes begin by inviting the audience to share a memorable meal. At first, there's often silence and stares. Then, slowly, I see a few raised hands as more and more people recall an outstanding dining experience. Here's a sampling of some shared meal memories. A homemade holiday feast at the home of lifelong friends. Savoring simple campfire food as a preteen during an overnight with girlfriends. A romantic anniversary meal at a candlelit restaurant savored by an elderly couple who found each other late in life. In my experience, shared reveries of cherished meals always include eating with others in warm, welcoming, pleasing surroundings. And it often includes the other elements of whole-person integrative eating dietary lifestyle Larry and I discovered: fresh food, positive feelings, gratitude, mindfulness, pleasant surroundings, and loving regard. I don't recall hearing a memorable meal story that reflects the solo dining overeating style, such as eating a sandwich or snack, perhaps while texting or being otherwise distracted by the details of life. driving home at night while munching a 500-calorie muffin from a nearby convenience store, or perhaps having a secret private zone out in front of the TV with a pint of ice cream and a bag of potato chips. Do you see yourself in any of the new normal solo dining experiences I just mentioned? If so, you have lots of company. We are a lonely culture, and nowhere is this more evident than in the millions who eat meals by themselves. Children reach for a piece of packaged pizza, then eat it at the computer. Single working women might heat up their low-calorie frozen meal in the microwave, then dine solo while watching TV. And anxious traveling salespeople are driven to dashboard dining while en route to another meeting. Not surprisingly, the solo dining scenarios also reflect the other new normal overeating styles Larry and I identified: food fretting, task snacking, emotional eating, fast foodism, unappetizing atmosphere, and sensory disregard. This is not surprising because the seven overeating styles are an interconnected family of eating behaviors that lead to weight issues. I'm excited to be sharing with you today the health and healing power of what I call social nourishment, because not only will you discover how to turn dining with others into balm for body, heart, and soul, we'll also explore how meals can contain invaluable memories that help to heal what writer Elizabeth Cady Stanton describes as, quote, the solitude of self. As you'll see, when you unite with others through food and your eating style shifts from a me mentality to a we awareness, you'll feel connected to something larger than your personal concerns, food-related and otherwise. And when you do, you'll ignite the healing light of social connection. And as you'll discover in the state-of-the-art studies I'll be telling you about, social nourishment also ups the odds of health and healing. Right now, I want to start a discussion about what I call social nourishment with a personal story about a soul-satisfying social dining experience Larry and I had one memorable New Year's Eve. From beginning to end, the meal was cradled in hospitality, friendship, and fresh food, and an ancient heart-to-heart ritual. For us, it was a reminder that creating meaningful connections with others over a meal has been a time-tested tradition in cultures worldwide for thousands of years. Larry's and my memorable meal began when we met Nalilia Mene at our friend Roslyn's home in Northern California. Originally from Kazakhstan, Nalilia told us about the Tamada tradition that I mentioned, that when English language needed a new word to describe the invisible ingredients that create meal magic, when friends share a good conversation while enjoying delicious food, she said, there is an ancient tradition that no Kazakh celebration is complete without wine and a tamada. The host or toastmaster, whose role is to create a pleasurable ambiance and ensure that everyone present is honored and enjoys the occasion, Nalilia told us. Quote, whether the gathering is small or a meal for many, it is a great honor for the person who is asked to be the tamada. Throughout the meal, starting with the elderly, for whom there is much respect, followed by those who have traveled far for the occasion, the tamada invites each guest to toast people, the food, or the event. From the first course to the main course and then dessert, the tamada invites a toast. In this way, every person is honored, she said, through the modern expression of an ancient tradition that embodies the best of friendship and shared food. As New Year's Eve continued to unfold, I knew that not only had I found the word for a time-honored ritual that embodies the special spirit of shared food and friendship, but I had just had the honor of having experienced this heart-to-heart, meaningful, love-filled tradition. Before continuing the healing power of social nutrition, I'd like to make a toast to you, dear listener. This episode of The Healing Secrets of Food Revealed is dedicated to tamada-flavored food and friendship for everyone, always, all days. So you'll have a better understanding about the link between social nourishment and weight. Now is a good time to delve into the state-of-the-art studies about how eating with others as often as possible leads to eating less and weighing less, and how social connection may even protect against heart disease. Let's begin first with the discovery of the solo dining overeating style and how Larry's and my research on this overeating style and many other studies, worldwide international studies, have also linked eating alone with overweight and obesity. A brief recap. As with all seven overeating styles Larry and I identified, we found that social nutrition is an interconnected web that is a family of eating behaviors. This family of social eating behaviors include 1, eating with family, 2, eating with friends, 3, eating at home at the dining table, and eating alone. This is the interconnected web of social eating behaviors Larry and I identified, which means that when people eat at home and at the dining table, it is natural to find that they also typically eat with family and friends, and that less often they eat by themselves. To be specific, a closer look at the social nutrition elements from our national sample of more than 5,200 people revealed that those who eat at home at the dining table are less likely to overeat and be overweight. As a matter of fact, eating at home at the dining table was the strongest predictor of less overeating and weight gain. Not so for eating with family or eating alone. These, in our study, didn't have any relationship to overeating or weight. The bottom line, the more often people in our study ate meals at home at their dining table, the more weight they lost and the less they overate. And though the connection was weaker, eating more frequently with family and friends was also linked with weight loss. What's sobering and very telling about our research findings on solo dining is the discovery that chronic social isolation while eating increases the probability that you'll overeat. Our research suggests this, and so does a growing body of state-of-the-art studies from many researchers worldwide. Now, for a moment, here's a look at the latest research on the new normal solo dining trend and what it means to your weight and your well-being. If you typically eat alone, you've got lots of company. The statistics on the solo dining overeating style are nothing less than daunting. As far back as 10 years ago, surveys revealed that the eat-alone trend was escalating. 30 to 40% of families were not eating together most of the time. In response, hoping to make inroads into traditional social sit-down family meals, the Center for Fathering launched, quote, Eat With Your Family Day in 2003. Still today, nearly half, 46% of adults, are completely alone when they eat. As a matter of fact, the escalating eat-alone trend is a growing concern because more and more studies support our discovery about the solo dining overeating style, and it's linked to being overweight and obese. Put another way, more researchers are finding links between the solo dining trend, its twin loneliness, and being overweight and obese. Here's a sampling. Researchers in Japan found that eating alone and living alone are jointly associated with higher risk of obesity and unhealthy eating behaviors. Translation, consuming lots of fast, ultra-processed junk food in both men and women. Another study, in a U.S. study with 8,459 kindergarten children, those who watched TV during dinner instead of eating family meals while being with others and having convivial conversation, these children were more likely to be overweight by the time they were in the third grade. Study number 3, a 2-year study out of Korea, revealed that the obesity rate of those who ate all 3 meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, by themselves was almost 1.4 times higher than those who ate all meals with others. Yet another study from Korea showed a clear correlation between lone diners in their 20s and their being obese and overweight. Here is the takeaway. Please keep in mind that whether you eat alone or with others, it's part of a web of the whole person integrative eating solutions to the overeating styles, meaning that whether you eat with others or solo, it is one of 7 elements of whole person integrative eating that give you guidelines to reverse solo dining and the other overeating styles. What I'm saying is this. Solo dining is simply one of the chords of the food and dining symphony and its relationship to your weight and well-being. In other words, people who typically eat by themselves may or may not practice the other overeating styles. For instance, unlike the people in the study from Japan who lived alone and ate mostly fast food and gained weight, it's possible to eat alone and typically choose fresh whole food and therefore not necessarily overeat and gain weight. Here's some good news studies. The healing power of social nourishment. While the new normal eat alone trend, both in the U.S. and worldwide, may seem quite disheartening, here are some studies about the healing power of eating with others. I call study number 1, the healing power of social ties. The idea that family meals can serve as a buffer against ailments emerged in a landmark 25-year study that began in the early 1960s in the small town of Risotto, Pennsylvania, when a local physician told researcher Stuart Wolf that he rarely saw cases of heart disease in the town's Italian-American population. Intrigued, Wolf set out to study the Rosatans, hoping to discover why the rate of heart disease was so low. Even though they consumed a traditional high-fat, high-cholesterol Italian-American diet of sauces, sausages, and other artery-clogging food, the rate of heart disease and mortality from heart attacks remained low in Risotto. As the long-term study progressed over the years, so did the rate of heart disease among the Italian Americans, so much so that it soon equaled that of the general population. When Wolf and his colleagues scrutinized the data, the main difference that surfaced was the change in human relationships. When the study started, close family ties and community cohesion were the norm. It was common to find 3 generations living together in one home. But as the children became adults, they moved away from Risotto. Over time, family and community cohesion began to weaken, along with commitment to religion, relationships, and traditional values. The close-knit way of life that had united Rosatans since their migration to Risotto in 1882 had ended, along with its prophylactic effect on heart disease. The pioneering study in Risotto explores the shift in heart disease in an Italian-American community over a quarter of a century. But it's also about the influence of human relationships and social support on the metabolism of high-fat, high-cholesterol, calorie-dense foods. Amazingly, This study suggests that when social support is present in our lives, especially when we eat what we eat, even foods not perceived as being heart healthy, is somehow metabolized differently and in turn may not harm health. The Rosetto study also tells us that when a meal is infused with social ingredients, some kind of healing alchemy seems to be set into motion. Indeed, the Rosetto study suggests that eating in a socially supportive atmosphere can serve as a buffer against ailments. I call study number two the healing power of love-filled feeding. Research results on the people of Rosetto seemed to have anticipated future studies that would serendipitously link dining with others in a caring, supportive environment to health and healing benefits. For instance, an amazing study by researcher Robert Narum at Emory University School of Medicine, who, as the Rosetto Social Study suggests, discovered an invisible healing web between caring relationships and the health-protecting metabolism of potentially artery-clogging food. In Narum's study, rabbits in the middle tier of cages fed a high cholesterol diet who were held, talked to, and nurtured during feeding had small amounts or no clogged arteries compared to those rabbits in the lower and higher rungs who were not held by being fed. Let's take a moment to get some perspective. Both the Rosetto and the rabbit studies imply that there's a mystery to how we metabolize food and that eating while experiencing a pleasant, caring connection to others matters to our health and well-being. Physician Deepak Chopra speculates about such invisible nutrients in food with his statement that, quote, consciousness could be one of the crucial determinants in the metabolism of food itself. I agree. The studies we've looked at in this episode on the power of caring social connections while eating versus the effect of solo dining and loneliness on the metabolism of food suggests that social support impacts the way our bodies use our food, so much so that it has the power to halt the development of heart disease or, based on Larry's and my research with whole person integrative eating, it may influence whether we gain weight or not. Call it awareness, realization, or perception, the consciousness to which Dr. Chopra alludes implies a special sensibility, an invisible, hard-to-measure mystery that somehow plays an essential and critical role in the metabolism of food itself. And when this consciousness is miraculously activated, not only does it have the power to neutralize the metabolism of potentially clogging cholesterol that we've consumed, it may also protect us against becoming obese. Such insights provide further support for the whole person integrative eating antidote to the solo dining overeating style I'm suggesting in this episode. And that antidote, the solo dining RX, is to enjoy food-related experiences with others as often as possible. And please consider this. The Rosetto and rabbit studies tell us that this whole person integrative eating practice is more than just words or a generic guideline to follow. Rather, state-of-the-art science suggests that enjoying food with others may provide a path to overcoming overeating and overweight and perhaps to other conditions linked to, quote, a lonely heart. Here are some recipes, literal and figurative, for starting your own social traditions by turning a table for one into a table for two, three, or more. There's also this to consider. I interpret the discouraging data about escalating solo dining loneliness in our culture, and they're linked to weight gain as an opportunity to make small social changes while eating that have the potential to lead to big mind-body health and weight benefits. As you'll see, these recipes for social nourishment offer insights into initiating and integrating meaningful person-to-person interaction with acquaintances, friends, coworkers, or family members over a cup of coffee, a snack, or a full-fledged meal once or more throughout the day. Here are three ideas for you to get started. For more social dining suggestions, please visit HealingSecretsPodcast.com and open the In Action CTA next to the yellow light bulb for episode 17. Number one, create an online eating with others community. Given that more and more of us work from home or we're digital nomads, consider connecting with others online for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or whenever you take a coffee break or have a snack. Number two, set a friendship-flavored table. To imbue a meal with a soul-satisfying connection with others, consider orchestrating a cafe get-together or hosting a dinner at your place, then asking one special friend to ensure everyone is honored and enjoys the occasion by serving as the Tamada Toast Master, the tradition I told you about at the start of the chapter. In this way, you and your friends are creating your own Tamada ritual that encourages a welcoming and memorable dining experience for all. And now I'd like to make a Tamada Toast to friendship-flavored food. Number three suggestion, dine with your pet. If you have a dog or cat or bird or other pet that you love and live with, consider enjoying a beverage or eating a meal the same time that your pet eats. To review these strategies as well as some others, please visit HealingSecretsPodcast.com, then open the In Action CTA next to the yellow light bulb for episode 17. Columnist and cookbook author Marion Cunningham has described the solo dining and the new normal overeating styles I'm telling you about in each chapter in the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed as, quote, going in, going out, then grabbing something to eat alone. Quote, when you eat this way, she says, you don't create deep connections, she told me during an interview when I had the honor of interviewing her, quote, and you miss the opportunity to get to know about the people you're living with when you don't sit around the table and share yourself around food. Continued Cunningham, we're fed more than food when we eat with others. Instead of taking a solitary trip through life, when you dine with family or friends, you learn to share and care for others, she says, as well as social skills, tradition, and ritual. Talk begins to flow, feelings are expressed, and a sense of well-being takes over. End quote. Such is the nourishment that beckons when we reset the American table. Here is the bottom line. The antidote to the solo dining overeating style is to, one, take a cue from the Tamada tradition of honoring each person at the dining table, two, from the heart disease protection power gleaned from the Rosetto social study, and three, and the eating while cared for rabbit study. As often as possible, enjoy a fresh meal, snack, or beverage with coworkers, family, or friends, or a neighbor. In other words, follow the remedy for the solo dining overeating style by integrating the whole person integrative eating practice of sharing and enjoying food-related experiences with others as often as possible, and bring this into your everyday meals as often as possible. A brief coda. I understand, as simple as the solution to the solo dining overeating style may seem, I know it can be a challenge to implement given the demands of busy schedules and cell phones and pagers and email that can keep us on call 24 hours a day. Still, perhaps the ancient social message in food writer Marion Cunningham's wisdom that, quote, we're fed more than food when we eat with others is worth considering. It is one thing to eat, she said. It is another to dine on lovingly prepared food with good friends. For when we do, not only is our appetite sated, but body, mind, soul, too, are nourished. So you can reap the rewards of what you discover in each episode of The Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. I close each episode with an in-action idea for you to try. This may be a quick tip about how to implement the healing secret of food we just discussed, or a practical step you can take, such as ordering a size down of your favorite coffee concoction, or perhaps I'll suggest a self-insight exercise, an internal reflection that can lead you closer to achieving your food-related health goals. I'll offer an in-action exercise at the end of each episode that can contribute to your transformation from today's new normal way of eating, which leads to overeating and overweight, to whole person integrative eating, which I described as your scientifically sound personal guide to eating less and weighing less without dieting. Consider keeping a Healing Secrets of Food Revealed journal to write down your experience with each in-action exercise. Today's in-action exercise are two self-insight reflections. Number one, consider and reflect on the whole person integrative eating, RX to solo dining, which is to enjoy food-related experiences with others as often as possible. Self-insight reflection number two, review the 11 recipes for social nourishment I created, then reflect on them and decide which one or ones work for you. You can find the 11 recipes for social nourishment at healingsecretspodcast.com in the in-action CTA next to the yellow light bulb. If you would like a summary of today's in-action exercise, please visit healingsecretspodcast.com. Then look for the yellow light bulb next to the in-action CTA. At healingsecretspodcast.com, you can also listen to this episode again and read the transcript and my article about the whole person integrative eating guidelines. And please consider joining the Healing Secrets Podcast community, where I'm looking forward to meeting you. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. With each show, I'll share step-by-step science-backed insights you need to nourish all of you, body, mind, soul, and social well-being each time we eat so you can thrive. I'm Deborah Keston, host of The Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. Until next week, be nourished.